Need a copy?
It's another copy of the research.
Sorry.
So whenever we have the privilege of hearing, visiting Rosh Yeshiva come speak to us at Yeshiva, we always want to sort of find the right balance. On the one hand, not to take away time from in this case, we're privileged here from Rav Simon, to give you as much time to appreciate and to learn from Rav Simon as possible. At the same time, to give you an appreciation of the opportunity that we do have at this particular time. So I'll just speak for 1 or 2 minutes. Just to give us a sense of in fact, the opportunity that we do have here. Many of our Talmidim have gone to YU and have learned with Rav Simon and Rav Simon's Shir. Azriel is raising his hand. And Baruch Hashem have been very successful there. So it's really a wonderful opportunity just to get to know, to get some exposure to Rav Simon. Why would that be the case? Why would you want to go to Rav Simon's Shir? So I think that Rav Simon... I think there are just three points that I want to hit on. One is that Rav Simon has a wonderful has the wonderful ability to take complicated concepts and to make them appear simple. Clarity. I personally remember that I experienced this myself when I went to Morisha Kollel the summer after I graduated high school. So there they have a high school Kollel and a college Kollel. And I was in the college kollel. I wasn't really in college, but I was in the college kollel because I just graduated high school. And they were learning chulin and complicated concepts, chanan and the like. And I, frankly, my chaverim and I, we were in over our heads. We go to shiur with Rav Willig and we had no idea what was going on. And Rav Simon gave the chazar shiur, all of a sudden it was so clear. It was like, how do we not understand this concept of chaticha nasis nevela when we were sitting in the shiur the first time? A wonderful ability to take complicated concepts and to make them clear. And that is great. That's a great quality for a magid shiur. It's a great quality for someone who we can seek out to learn from. You go in, you know that it'll be as clear as possible. All you have to do is do your part and turn on your head and Simon will do the rest. In addition to that, you were lucky enough to receive from your friendly YU representatives, those of you who signed up, the Sefer Imre Baruch, that Rav Simon has published, and give you a glimpse as you look through the parashiyos, wonderful yedios. Rav Simon Baruch Hashem is able to quote so many different things, to bring in things from all over the place, to really enrich a person's understanding of any particular topic. So you're learning a topic, and a person may in his own learning see, you know, the basic makaros, but to go ahead and have this scope, the breadth, to bring in so many different topics, so many different sources which are relevant and which really round out the picture and give a full picture of what's going on. So that is another tremendous koach that Rav Simon has, and which we can really appreciate and gain from. Another thing that a person would be looking for, hopefully, in a Rebbe is someone that he can relate to, someone that a person can have a Rebbe Talmud relationship with. And our alumni have gone to YU, and again, I can attest to this personally, we're here from our Talmidim. Rav Simon has a very popular shiur, a lot of guys in the shiur, and he cares about each one individually, and he knows each one individually. It takes the time to get to understand the person. He's so approachable. He's so down to earth. He's a person you can really relate to. I can say personally, Rav Simon and I have met over the course of the years at very different times. I never really had the opportunity to sit in Rav Simon's shiur on a consistent, regular basis. Nonetheless, Rav Simon is always a person who he always remembers. He's always a shalom aleichem. You're not gonna get lost. It's not a situation where it's a big environment and the person can get lost. Rav Simon is a person who takes the opportunity to care, to know, to offer guidance to his talmidim, and therefore certainly. I think it's a very realistic option for all of us to learn from Rav Simon in his shiur on a regular basis, but at the very, very least, to appreciate the opportunity that we have right now to hear some divrei Torah from a person of Rav Simon's stature. Without further ado, Rav Simon.
Thank you, Rav Siv, Rishus HaRabbanim, HaTalmidim. It's always a pleasure that in the several past years that I've had the chus to come to Eretz Yisrael on behalf of Yeshivas Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, and usually the itinerary is made for me, so I come and I just follow. So I'm always happy when Lev HaTorah is put on my schedule, and And it's nice to have met with several of Talmidim here this morning. And it's very nice to see that everyone is happy in a warm environment, and it's a beautiful thing to see. So continue your learning, continue your growth, and if one of these days we'll see you in New York, so you'll be welcome. But in the meantime, you know, stay here, enjoy, learn, develop your relationships, and Bez Hashem, it'll make you so much stronger in the future. I'd like to share with you a new chumash here that I put together by Parshas Toldos, and please keep the packets. You can have the Makoros that you can look to review, and we'll try to learn the Makoros together, and you'll help me out here. Okay, I'm going to call upon you to help me out to try to develop the inyan that we're trying to understand. And the inyan is the inyan of tefillah, of davening, the significance of davening, etc. Let's just ask the famous question before we begin of the Sefer Yikorim. You know, and let me hear what you have to say about that. Namely, what's the point of davening? What do I mean? Meaning, if I deserve to get what I'm asking for, I should get it without having to ask. Hashem knows what I need. It's not like a boss of a dom who might not understand what I need. He knows what I need, so if I deserve it, he should give it to me. And if I don't deserve, just because I ask for it, why should I get it? That's right. That's a fundamental question about the whole institution of davening. So, what would you say to that? Yeah, your name again?
Avi.
I
daven sometimes with a half a prayer for Shemoneh Esrei, and see that it says, like, sometimes, like, you say, even though we're not worthy, can you, like, please still grant this for us? And, like, maybe it's the idea of, like, sometimes we're not always deserving of something, but we always have to... We have to ask Hashem for it anyway and say, like, with your rachamim and with your compassion, like, can you still help us, like, achieve?
And that's only because I'm asking for it.
Yeah.
I mean, Hashem's rachamim wouldn't be automatic.
I mean, even if you want something from your father, you have to ask him. You have to tell him what you want. You should speak to him.
Yeah, I understand. That's my father because he's not God.
Thanks. So I feel like it's a comparable relationship. You're supposed to... talk to him like you're talking to your father, like you're supposed to, and like you're supposed to speak to him. You have to tell him what you want. Like, he knows what you want, but he wants you to speak to him.
He wants a relationship.
Yeah.
He wants a relationship. And that's, you know, what you said over here is a very interesting thing. You know, now that you mentioned it, I wasn't going to talk about it, but that's the nature of a give and take here. You said a wonderful idea. That Hashem wants a relationship. He knows what I need. He knows what I want. He knows who I am. But, you know, the relationship is what's important. He wants to have that relationship. And if I daven, I have the relationship. You know, and what's so significant is I wasn't even thinking of that, so I'm glad you brought it up. That's a famous chazal in Parshas Toldos. Okay? V'yitein l'cha. You know, some of us on Motzai Shabbos say V'yitein l'cha. Some don't say V'yitein l'cha. But, so, V'yitein l'cha l'kim mital ha-shamayim, right? So that's the bracha, right? That Yitzchak gives. And what does Rashi say in V'yitein l'cha? Does anyone remember? Yitein? The yachzor V'yitein. Right? Hashem will give the eating. He'll give, and he'll give some more. So what's the significance of that? So I remember the late Rosh Yeshiva in Keren B'Yavna, Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldwacht, always would say, oh, this is one of his big themes that he would have on this pasuk. And that's like this. V'yitein v'yachzor v'yitein means Hashem is going to give it to you piecemeal. He's not going to give it all at once. He's going to give, and then he's going to give some more. Not all at once. Why? Because if he gives it all at once, then the relationship's over. You have everything you need for the next 30 years, and we're not going to speak to each other for the next who knows how long. So v'yitein, v'yachzer, v'yitein means that Hashem is going to give a little bit, but not forever, and then he's going to wait for you to hear from you again, because he wants that relationship. Yitein, v'yachzer, v'yitein. In contrast, as he would point out, Rav Goldberg, to the klala of the Nachash. He always would say, the klala of the Nachash was what? That you're going to go on the ground and you can eat the offer. So the question he would ask is, eating the offer, so for us to eat offer, we don't enjoy offer. So that's not so good. But if you can take it, it's great because it's readily available. It's readily available. So if you could like it, it would be better. You know, it's free, it's readily available. So what's the klala? So that's, as he explained, that the klala is that's readily available. You don't need the Ribbono Shel Olam anymore. You don't need that relationship anymore. So therefore that's the biggest klala. I think that's a very important thing in life in general. You know, relationships. Nurturing relationships with your, you know, Bez Hashem, you're going to be in yeshiva here for who knows how long. But then, you want to continue the relationship with you. You met so many new chaverim here, and rebbeim here. So you have to put an effort in to keep the relationship going. You know, pick up a phone, pick up whatever way people communicate these days. And I still use a phone, but a cell phone, but a phone. You know, but all these different email, whatever it is. You know, you want to continue that relationship, because that's the wonderful thing about being in yeshiva, is that it's just not just the learning, but the relationships that you form here. So what you said, what you said was that tefillah is Hashem's way of wanting that relationship, and if he feels we have a relationship, then he's going to perhaps grant us what we ask. And the Sefer Ikrim, just to mention, the Sefer Ikrim says, Rav Yosef Albo, one of the great Jewish thinkers, he says a slightly different idea, and that is, he says, you're right. Really, Hashem, if I deserve it, I should get it even without asking. If I deserve it, I should get it even without asking. But what? It could be, I don't deserve it. So what tefillah does is when I daven, I heighten my emunah. Because basically, why am I spending time davening? If I didn't believe in God, it would be a waste of time. I could be spending that half an hour or whatever on the computer trying to, you know, if I'm asking for Pardasa, so why don't I just spend a half an hour making some connections on the computer with some business someplace? The answer is because I believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the ultimate. So I'm showing a level of Amunah. I'm heightening my Amunah every time I daven. So I'm transforming myself as a different person. So Mimela, me, on this level perhaps didn't deserve it, but now I'm on this level. Every time we daven, we're a notch higher. So therefore, that perhaps is another reason of the concept of tefillah. It's the transformation of the person. It's, yeah, Hashem knows, but Hashem wants to see, are you a real mammon? Do you believe? What's your status in terms of that? Okay. So then the Torah continues, and you know, it says that Yitzchak and Rivka wanted to have a child. And look here on page 2. Vayeta Yitzchak Hashem Noch Ishto Ki Akorahi Vayesha Lo Hashem Vata Rivka Ishto. Hashem listened to Yitzchak, and Rivka became pregnant. So there's a Rashi, and again, I'm going to come to you for help with this Rashi. like I come to you for help for everything here, so you're going to help me out. Let's look at Rashi on page 2. Vayata lo, v'lo lo. They were both davening to have Rivka finally have a child. And Hashem listens to Yitzchak's tefilos, but not to what? To Rivka. She'ein doma tefilas tzadik ben Rasha, the tefilas tzadik ben tzadik. Lefichach lo v'lo lo. So the Chazal teach us, and we'll see Rashi's quoting a Gemara here, which you can see here on the next page in the Masech Yevamos, on page 4, here on the bottom here, Vayetalo is singular, only him. It should say Vayetalahem, that he answered both their tefillahs. So the answer is no. It's tafka vayeta lo. If he shein adoma tefilas tzadik ben tzadik, the tefilas tzadik ben Russia. That the tefilah of a tzadik ben tzadik is on a higher level than a tzadik ben Russia. Now that requires understanding. Why should that be? I mean, you think if anything. But Tzadik ben Rasha, look what he accomplished. Look what he accomplished. He didn't have that upbringing. It's much harder to be a Tzadik ben Rasha than a Tzadik ben Tzadik. And yet, the Chazal tell us that Hashem listened to Yitzchak, and specifically because he was a Tzadik ben Tzadik and not a Tzadik. Tzadik ben Rasha. So let's try to understand that. So please help me. What do you think, Eitan?
Maybe it's that he himself wasn't worthy of it, but because he's from his father, Hashem thought that his father, because of his father, by Rivka, she wouldn't have. Even if she wasn't worthy of it, there was, you know, still something from her father that was then.
In other words, maybe neither Yitzchak or Rivka were necessarily worthy, but Yitzchak had schosavos. But then it would come out that if a person is worthy, then this klal shouldn't apply. Right? And Chazal are calling them Tzadik ben Tzadik and Tzadik ben Rasha, which may indicate that they're both Tzadikim, which should indicate perhaps that they are worthy of it. But, you know, it's true what you're saying, that each case, you know, whereas if you're not worthy and you have some chosavos, so that could be helpful. But maybe one could question this idea to say that they weren't worthy. If a tzaddik's not worthy, and unless you say, you know, you got to be a super tzaddik. You know, the levels of to have such a thing, and maybe, you know, maybe they needed a special Yeshua here. That maybe it would only have been. But on the other hand, he seems to like speak about it like in a very general sense. Like in a general sense, the tefillah of it's not necessarily for this particular case, but in general, he seemed to say that the tefillah of a tzaddik ben tzaddik is more makubal than a tefillah tzaddik ben Rasha, which we still have to. I hear what you're saying, but let's see if we can, you know, bring it out even further. Your name?
Yonah.
Reb
Kolasser was mentioning this morning the idea of being amel on the Torah to actually be kona the Torah yourself as opposed to receiving it. So a tzaddik ben Rasha, so they had to work for it, but they were coming from a level of, let's say, you know, a little bit negative, but they worked for it themselves. But a tzaddik ben tzaddik, so he easily could have taken the Torah and just been, okay, I'm a ben tzaddik, I'm a son of this person, so I can easily be a from Jew. but I'll stay like, I'll float through life. But the Tzaddik Ben Tzaddik really had to truly put the Chayva to accept everything and also to continue to grow to the level of Tzidkus. So even, they're both Tzaddikim, but because he was coming from the level of easily, he could have taken it easily and chose to still work on himself.
Whereas the Tzaddik Ben Ruksha was a given that he had to work. And Tzaddik Ben Tzaddik might have been able to just coast, so to speak, and he still worked. So maybe, okay, that's an interesting idea. But then we'd have to understand specifically the Gabi Tfila, but okay, everything everyone's going to say, you know, is helping us out here. Yeah.
I think Rashi said later on that the reason why...
What's your name again?
Nisim. The reason why Yitzchak wasn't allowed to go to Chutzart was because he was more Kaddosh, sacrifice. So maybe since he's a Tzaddik Ben Tzaddik, he's also more Kaddosh. And therefore, Hashem will listen more to someone who has a higher level of Kedusha.
Right, in other words, the Tzaddik Ben Tzaddik you're saying is a high level of Kedusha. But that also needs explanation why that should be. In other words, if this person is indeed a tzaddik,
it's more pure.
It's more pure. It's coming from pure roots. We know that, you know, Hashem says, you know, Yish b'cheto yumas, that we don't get punished for our ancestors only if we are ochseib, only if we follow in their improper ways. Okay, but okay, I want to hear more. Anyone who didn't speak up yet?
Maybe, I mean, it's similar to what you said before. Maybe it's like a tzaddik is going to be, a tzaddik is a tzaddik, but it's a tzaddik ben tzaddik is, we need our avos, we need our mitzvah Yaakov. We see that they were, we every day in Shemoneh Esrei, in the first paragraph we daven that and there's a chut, and there the chut that they should help us. Like, you could be a big tzaddik, but you still, maybe it's teaching us that we need the merits of our, we need the merits of our forefathers to help us even more to be
zochet. In other words, we should never think that we could do it on our own.
Yeah. I mean, it says, yeah. I mean,
we can never think we could do it on our own, so we always have to think
maybe
that we're...
Maybe live up to them, or like...
Whether we're not kedai.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, like, I think I have a piece in the Sefer that Pasuk says, Tfila la'oni kiyatov, l'fnei Hashem yishpoch sicho. That they made a nice song for that. Huh? So, in other words, tefillah is always has to be from the perspective of that I'm bamish and ani hashor al psachim. You never go to tefillah of Kadosh Baruch Hu with the perspective of, you know, I'm roy. No one could ever say that. In other words. So perhaps a tzaddik ben tzaddik is saying that he's not roy, but I have a father. You know, he can never speak about himself. He can say, my father, maybe my ancestors were roy, so do it from that. But a tzaddik ben Russia perhaps doesn't have that ability, so he's lacking perhaps, even though in terms of his chusim, in terms of his olam haba, and in terms of his all these great things, he's going to be great or not greater than the, you know, than perhaps the tzaddik ben tzaddik. As Rav Moshe Feinstein, I was told once, said, a person is going to judge in this world about how much he changed himself. You know, how much he changed himself. You know, so... You know, so sometimes, but for tefillah, is a special idea that it has to come, and that's, I think, along the lines of what you're saying, that you have to be a tefillah la'ani. You have to be somebody who is coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu not from your own tzchus, like we see in Parshas Veschanan. Says Veschan Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu was mevakesh matnas chinam, because he said that I'm not roi l'kach. Even Moshe Rabbeinu says he's not roi l'kach. So Tzadik ben Tzadik, he's more prone to have this idea of saying that it's, you know, of the tefillah l'ani, that it's not my zchus. If you want to see some of Farshim, some interesting Sfarim, actually Hasidish Sfarim, who make this claim, explaining this idea, take a look on page 13 in the Sefer Bas Ayin, which is a classical Hasidish Sefer. And since you said something similar, we'll take a look right now. Fourth column. Right, we say that in Yishtabach, right? Aboche b'shirei zimra, which literally means Hashem chooses the songs of Zimra, you know, that we just said in Tehillim, in the Psuke de Zimra of David HaMelech. So the added interpretation is Hainish Aboreh Kol Omim Baruch Hu Boche b'shirayim shol Zimra. Shirayim means the leftovers. In other words, a person who feels, again, it's always important in life to have self-esteem and be able to, and we know there's a difference, you know, you read Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky's books on Let Us Make a Man, the difference between gaiva and self-esteem. You know, there's nothing wrong with having self-esteem. But when it comes to tefillah, Hashem chooses the person who feels that I'm coming to you, b'toras shirayim. I'm the leftovers. I'm an oni. I'm not necessarily roi l'kach. And then it works based on the mechanisms we said before, based on the Sefer Ikri and based on what others have said. So aboche b'shirei zimra, aboche b'shirayim shal zimra. Tehainu l'mishem meisim atzmo ki shirayim k'shal zimru tefila. And then he says, "Iker avdus avodas Hashem ubechinas anovav shiflus b'emesh." He's born b'sichlul shomim l'spalul fnei borach kol omim shemitzad masai eni roil l'daber dover l'fon v'isparach. In other words, he has to have that type. So he says in the last paragraph, "Shu tzadik ben tzadik as yuchal levakeish b'Hashem isparach mitzad zchus avos." Avol. Shutzadik ben Rasha in Yochel Levakesh next page mitzad zchus avos rakika habasham muchvach lios mitzad masav. Right. So therefore, if it's, in other words, it's much easier for a tzadik ben tzadik to have this idea that he's doing it not by his own tefiyah. He's not saying to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I deserve it, so give it to me. Habocher b'shirei zimra means Hashem is bocher, the person who's meisi atzmo kishirayim, and that's a special notion of tefillah, which is very interesting. And that's the pasuk that tefillah la'ani, that when we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're supposed to come to Him like aniyim, like when an ani, you know, knocks on the door. Sometimes people are, they'll get very, very aggressive when they're collecting. But really, the tefillah ani means that he comes and he's saying, you know, you're right, I have no, there's no reason why you really need to give me anything, but I'm asking you for a tova. I'm asking you for a tova. And that's how we have to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because as great as we are, or we feel we could be, but when we're approaching the Ribbono Shel Olam, we have to approach the Ribbono Shel Olam with that feeling of tefillah la'ani. And then it's quoted, we'll see on page 14, that the Gemara says a similar idea, and the Yismach Yisrael, I believe, quotes this as well. Take a look on page 14 in the Gemara in Brachos, and Yud Amid Beis. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum of Yosef ben Zimra, Chalotola b'schus atzmo, tolim lo b'schus achayim. Chalotola b'schus achayim, tolim lo b'schus atzmo. Because if you are claiming your own schus, so then that's a chisaron. Then we'll only say it comes b'schus achayim. But if you're coming b'schus achayim, so then we're gonna be considerate to your own schus. But that's a way of Kadosh Baruch Hu listening to us. So that's the notion that. And if you want to take a look in page 18, the Sefer Yismach Yisrael from the Alexander Rebbe says that same idea. Zeshu Kosev Rashi Zal Vayeter Lo V'lo Lo Shein Doma Tfilas Tzadik Ben Roshel Tfilas Tzadik Ben Tzadik Tvichach Lo V'lo Lo V'hainu She Tfilas Tzadik Ben Tzadik Hu Tfila B'Hachno Yisera U'Bitul Gomer. And furthermore, it's not only the idea that we said before from the Bas Ayin, but it's an idea also that a person has more hachnoah when he's a tzaddik ben tzaddik, because he says, you know, who am I compared to my forefathers? But when his forefathers were Rishayim, so he says, yeah, I'm even greater. So his lack of hachnoah, his lack of anivas, perhaps is greater when he could say that, I'm asking, but you know, I'm a person who wasn't even on the level of my forefathers. It's interesting that this halacha is quoted in the poskim. Let's take a look now. So now we have perhaps a somewhat of a mahalach, as we'll see, of this idea of the tefillah of tzaddik ben tzaddik, because the ultimate tefillah has to come from hachnah. It's an idea of tefillah l'oni, kiyatov, l'fnei Hashem yishpoch sicho, and the tzaddik ben tzaddik, not necessarily because he's greater than the tzaddik ben tzaddik, because on the one hand, tzaddik ben Rasha did tremendous things, you know, tzaddik ben Rasha, that he was able to, you know, and Rivka growing up in such a home, and she was able to rise above it all. But perhaps on a certain nekuda, legabi tefila, the tefila would be perhaps more answered if it's coming from the tzaddik than tzaddik.
Can you say the opposite? That because I'm coming from the house, so once you're already saying that I'm nothing, and you're saying, let's look at my father at least, and look at him. I mean, I'm sure I look at my father. He's a tzaddik, so you can accept my tefillah. But for Rivka, I'm nothing, and she's the highest level of money, because look at my father. I'm coming from mom, nothing. I'm nothing, and my father was nothing.
Right, but I guess there's a chashash that there's a certain level of saying that I'm something because my father was, and look what I accomplished. So it might be on a certain level a lack of that notion of tefillah la'ani. But let's take a look now on page 5 in the Shut Harosh. We know, I'm sure you learned in the Gemara, in the back of the Gemara you have the Perish of the Rosh, who is one of the Gedolei Rishonim. But usually every Rishon, besides his Perish and Shas, you know, has his Tshuvas. You know, the Rashba has Tshuvas HaRashba, and the Rosh has Tshuvas HaRosh, and Rashi has Tshuvas. They all have Tshuvas. They all wrote Perushim on Shas, and sometimes on the Gemara. And then they're separate. There's Tshuvas HaRashba, Tshuvas HaRosh, Tshuvas HaRambam. All, you know, so the Rosh has a whole set of Tshuvas. In fact, anyone who learns Halacha Be'ian, always Tshuvas HaRoshes will always be quoted. Tshuvas HaRashbas will be quoted. Tshuvas HaRosh. Bez Hashem, you stay into learning. Bez Hashem, you'll all be learning for many, many years to come. And you'll reach the time where you want to learn Halacha Be'in, and you'll see that you'll be learning Tshuvas Rishonim, because the Beis Yosef builds the Shulchan Aruch a lot of times based on the Tshuvas of Rishonim. So look what he has over here. So he has here, actually, it's a longer tshuva, but we can take a look on here. So I'll start with the third line. In other words, they would appoint people to be the Shliach Tzibur who came from families that were not so well regarded. And he writes, so the question is it proper to appoint these people who come from families that were perhaps not on the highest levels, to appoint them in the communities as Shlichei Tzibur? So he writes the third line. As the Rush writes over here, that what difference does it make, the Yichus? What difference does it make, the Yichus? You think Hashem cares about the Yichus? Einu kein b'einei hamakom. Einu kein b'einei hamakom. So he says, so the Marshal, page 7, who is the Marshal, also is very prolific. Marshal is in the back of the Gemara, right? The bottom of the Marshal is also, they say, for Yom Shal Shlomo. So he quotes this paragraph from the Shuvas Harash, and you see where the arrows on page 7 go down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth line in the middle. He says, Yesh l'hashiv al divrei harav, halo matzino b'divrei rabbaseinu, v'ayet halo v'lo lo. What do you mean to say that the Yichus doesn't count for the tefillah, but we do have this notion of Eino Doma tefillah tzadik ben tzadik the tefillah ben Rasha. So what is it? Is it important or is it not important? So the Marshal answers, "El tzorach atalomar shein chiluk ben tzadik el atfilas atzmo shes chus avos yisayeya." Because if you're davening for yourself, and the Sefer Ma'apel Nefesh explained this, if you're davening a private tefillah for yourself, so then he says that it's better to have the tzadik ben tzadik, because the grandfather is going to hopefully be Melech Yosher in Shemayim for the private tefillah. However, mispal bavur ha'am, v'ein bo avel u'mirma, that if somebody davens for the tzibur and he's an upstanding righteous Jew, adrava chashuv hi lufnei hamokom shaminiach malas avosa v'holech b'darkei Hashem yisparach. Alav gamkein shalom l'chokokom shom mizera rechokim v'niskariv. So he says an unbelievable thing. Marshal was known for his, he was always a big Baal Mechadesh, always unique shitas, always going against the trend of whatever of other people said. And Marshal says no. He thinks that din, there was a private tefillah that Yitzchak and Rivka were davening for their own private son or daughter to have a child. So there is a private tefillah, so then the Schus Avos is significant. But the Marshal says that when it comes to davening for the Tzibur, he feels that's not a chisaron. It's not a chisaron to have, in other words, we shouldn't not take you as a chazan if you're going to, even though you're, the parents perhaps were not such upstanding individuals. And that's what the, so that's what the Mashal basically takes that Rashi and that Chazal and Yevamos, and basically the way he wants to explain the Rush is to say that that's very limited. Only in the case, we were trying to explain it in a sense what the idea is, and we explained based on those various svarim that there's a certain hachna and a certain that you have when you're a tzaddik ben tzaddik, that you're not tola b'schus atzmo, you're tola b'schus acherim, which is a kiyam in tefila la'ani. But now he's saying that that it's not a psul necessarily. It's not a psul, and the real intent of Chazal, of the Eina Doma Tefila Tzadik Ben Tzadik, was referring to a private tefila for yourself. It's interesting that in another place that's quoted in the poskim from the Mashal, you know, the Mashal wrote a lot of things. You gotta keep track of everything. So the Mashal here on page 8, second arrow, this is a Xerox of the regular Shulchan Aruch. In other words, the Mechaber Amar in the middle, the Magen Avraham and the Taz are the two main Mefarshim on the regular Shulchan Aruch. Usually when we start learning Halacha, we learn Mishnah Berurah and things like that. So the Mishnah Berurah basically summarized what's in the Magen Avraham, what's in the Taz, what's in the Gra, and 10 other Sfarim, and he made it very user-friendly. But the Bez Hashem, when you get older and you're going to hopefully learn Shulchan Aruch and the old Shulchan Aruchs, so you'll learn, you know, all the Mefarshim inside, and then you'll first begin to appreciate what the Mishnah Berurah did. Because when you just go first to the Mishnah Berurah, you don't understand what he did. But when you learn the sources yourself, and then you see how he put it together, then you could appreciate what he did, and then you can perhaps discuss why did he tilt the scale this way and not that way, etc. But it's interesting. That the here he discusses who's fit to be a shliach tzibur, and so if you look in the Taz here, that's Taz Magen David on about the second arrow. So he quotes that the Torah says from the Rush that ein malas hashatz tali biyichus mishpacha. So right there, the Mashal asked the question, but what about the idea of Tzadik ben Tzadik versus Tzadik ben Rasha that Rashi quotes in Chumash? And he gave the answer, the difference between Tfilah for his own private need versus being the Shlich Tzibur for the Kohal. But then he quotes, interesting, Kasav Rashal, and this is not in the Tshuva, Mikol Mokom, Im Shneim Shavim Bevadei Miyuchas Kodem L'Sheinu Miyuchas. So it's interesting that even though the Mashal and the Tshuva wrote that really it's to appoint someone as a shlich tzibur, it's not so important to find out who his father was and who his mother was and who his uncle was and who's the, you know, all that, because he's davening for the tzibur and it's not his own bakasha. So fakir, he has such a schus that he came so far in life. But yet, in another place, the Marshal also wrote Hagos on the tour. So in the old tours, on the bottom of the tour, there's little notes from the Marshal. And there he writes, but if they're both, everything else equal, and one has the Yichus Mishpacha, one comes from a family, in other words, we're more observant, etc., observant versus non, that would give a preference to. That's what the Mashal, what he quotes here from the Mashal. Oh, there's a very interesting tshuva in the Avnei Nezer on page 10. Avnei Nezer is the Sachet Shavu Rebbe. It's Bez Hashem, one day you learn Shuvas Avnei Nezer. It's the best thing in the world. But until you're ready, you should learn Shem Yishmuel. It's also the best thing in the world. That's the son of the Avnei Nezer on Chumash. Best thing in the world that you'll ever, you know. So you should take a look once in a while. So what's the shayla here? But the var shayla sheish lem balei tefilos shal Rosh Hashanah shnayim b'nei Torah v'yir shemayim. So he has two groups to pick from. Two of them are b'nei Torah v'yir shemayim, and he has another two. I guess maybe the Dam Shachris and Musaf. So there's two guys, two pairs. One pair that's Yir Shemayim, Torah, etc. Another two, also B'nai Torah Yir Shemayim. But V'yeshalhem Kol Orev Yoser. But two of them, they have much better voices. They have much better voices. So you have one group with Yir Shemayim. The other group, they're also Yir Shemayim. So the Maila, that one group has done the other. And I guess that somehow comes in groups. You know, so you have this, the Shachris Musav duo, this Shachris Musav. So he says, they have the better voices. The only problem is, the one with the better voices has a Begam Mishpacha. What's the Begam Mishpacha? Echad Ha'aviv Shochet Ubodek. He was a Shochet in the community, his father. You have to know, in the old days, like today, like the rabbinate is a totally different thing what it used to be. You know, the main thing in the old days of the rabbinate was to show the chickens to the rabbi. That was like the big thing. Today, most rabbis, you know, never saw a chicken, and the only chicken you see is the chicken you eat. But you know, they say that, you know, when Ramosha Feinstein Zatzal, he gave his main shiur on Friday, and the Dibros Moshe is the shiurim that he gave Friday morning in the yeshiva. And Dibros Moshe is the one, that's one of the most unbelievable sefer ever written. That's just, you know, another point to one day you should be zocha to learn Dibros Moshe. So, and then there would be women. The women weren't in to hear the shiur. It wasn't like these type of things that women were there to hear the shiur. So the women were waiting for him to finish the shiur so they could show him their chickens. So he can pass them on their chickens so they can go cook it for Shabbos. That's where the women were there to. And then a big thing of the Rav was that he would check the knife of the shochet to see that it was a good knife. That was like, you know, the Hilchos Shabbos, other things, I'm sure that yes, but that wasn't the main point of a Rav. The main point of a Rav was the chickens and the knives. And not the knives like we have today, where you put your knife in the sink and something happened. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the shechita knives. That was like the main function. That's why, you know, the late Rosh Yeshiva in our yeshiva, Reb David Lifshitz, he couldn't sign the smichas in YU because he felt they're not learning treifas. And for his mindset, and he was a European Rav. His mindset, a Rav meant you knew treifas. That's the essence of a Rav. You don't know treifas, you're not a Rav. So here, the guys who had the nice voices, their father was let go by the rabbi of the community because he checked the knives and he didn't pass inspection. Meaning if the knife is not totally sharp or something like that, then there can be a problem with the shechita. So here you had two guys who were from guys, and their fathers were good people, but their voices weren't the greatest. And another two guys, they were also from Shomer Torah Mitzvahs and everything, and they had the better voices, but they had a pagam that their father was let go from shechita because of the shechita knives. That was one thing, one problem with them. And then, what else they had? What else do they have here? Haya aviv v'shnei rabbanim evru mechlas shalahutru v'chakim v'al halach kfar achim v'dinis praisim v'shachat sham v'asheini yesh and the other guy yesh l'ach me'av u'me'em shehimir rachmona l'tzlan. And the other guy, he has a brother who totally went off the derech. So these two guys, they had the better voices, but there was a pagam mishpacha. One had a father who was let go for shechita, and the other one had a what? Had a brother who was what? Who was, went off the hehemir. So who do you pick? No, what would you say? So who do we pick as the chazan here? Who do we pick? Eze yikhu lebali tefilos al yom narayim. Yom narayim. It's a big box here. Well, who do you pick here? So he says, nirali sheyikhu osam shekolam arif. Pick the good voices. Even though there's shtickle problems with this guy's father and this guy's brother, but these people, Yirei Shemayim, fine. And they had better voices than the other, even though the other ones had a better, you know, the other guy had a place. He was probably, his father was an accountant, and the other guy was whatever, you know, Rebbe Yenid. The other guys, their yichus was okay. Even though, says the Avnei Nezer, you should think that a tzaddik ben tzaddik is better. So l'chora, you should disqualify. You know, I'm sure their voices weren't that bad. I mean, you know, weren't maybe the best voices. The other guys had nicer voices, but. So he says, "Mikol mokum, but much shachav v'raisin yesh lumod zchusolav ki adua inyan hashchozes hasakhayni mishuna bivina achas michaverta hasakhayni asher medinas lita mishtamshun behem anachnu lo hayinu machshir osam lachatila." So he says it could be that in different communities they had different standards, and it wasn't like it was a mamish psul. So maybe in this community they were used to being in another community where the standards of the sakinim were allowed to be a certain level, which was not the same level of, but it didn't mean that they were mamish using you know, so that's a possibility. And Vashe Shafreishin has Sakina Tov, Milsel Lidon, have a movement, etc. Vashen is Yishlo Ach. So, in the Afshar Ramam Kosov Gabi Taniya, Shaloh Yebekrov of Balavera, Chol Nilvi Melav, Vadek Vanosov El Shaya Yochel Hochichim Lachzim Betshuva. So he thinks that your brother being a Balavera, that's perhaps only if you had the ability of being makar of them and you didn't. But if midon didon shem yeshivayim chalila, but here you wouldn't necessarily be able to do that, so you're not to blame. So he doesn't think that just because the brother went off the derech and it wasn't in your control that you could disqualify. Okay, Nirish, in the last two, three lines, in Batorvi Yerushalayim Shkulim. And he wasn't Pasheya. It's not like he didn't pay attention to his brother and he could have done and he didn't. But it just wasn't in his control. So then, it's provided that they're both equal in Torah and Yerushalayim. See, he paskin zikabo hashnaim shekolom orev v'sholom al Yisrael. That's the psak of the Avnei Nezer. One last point, it's getting a little late. One last point about this on this topic. There's a lot to say here, but the Sefer Imre Yosef, page 27. So he wants to say another pshat, and there is an idea in tefillah, another concept in tefillah that's brought down in the svarim, and this is a very high madrega. I mean, it's not something necessarily we could relate to right away, maybe in the course of years. And that is the ultimate tefillah. We discussed the concept of tefillah, la'oni. But the ultimate tefillah, you know what the ultimate tefillah is to daven for? It's to daven for tzar hashchina. Meaning, if I don't have what I need, and I'm not happy, ultimately the Ribbono Shel'Olam is not happy. In other words, he loves us all. So when there's not bracha in this world, you know, the famous word in the various form, Hashem created the world because derech hatov lehetiv. He wants to shower good. That's the whole point of this world. He wants to do good. So if he's not able to do good because we did something or whatever, we feel pain. He feels even more pain. So if we daven with a kavana, alleviate the tzar hashchina, which is very hard, because usually when we need something, we're thinking more about ourselves than the tzar hashchina. So it's very hard to. But so he says that perhaps vayeta Yitzchak Lashem, that when Yitzchak was davening, it was more that he was davening the kavod hashchina, of the tzar hashchina, Masha Enkein Rivka, as he explains, maybe she didn't think she was royal kach to daven for the tzar hashchina, but her tefillah perhaps was maybe on a certain level, as great as she was, had a little bit more of a personal interest, and that's why the Lashon HaPasuk is Vayech Tzar Yitzchak Lashem, and it was more for the tzar hashchina. Masha'en Kane, Rivka's tefillah was more for her own chisaron, that she didn't have banim, and therefore that was a higher level of that was another idea of why her tefillah, Yitzchak's tefillah, was answered and not Rivka's tefillah. Okay, Rabosai, so basically what we see over here is different perspectives of tefillah, what tefillah is about. We said tefillah is about relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam. We quoted, as Rav Goldberg said, the word of Yitain, V'yachzor V'yitain, that's the ultimate, not to get everything at once, because Hashem wants us to keep coming back. Hashem, the Nachash, he got it all. So, no relationship. That's the biggest, as Rav Goldberg said, that's the biggest klala. We discussed the Sefer Ikrim, that basically, and that's how you explain the idea of tefillah, that Hashem wants that relationship. When he has the relationship, so then he's going to give us, hopefully, what we need. And then we saw the idea of the Sefer Ikrim, that every time we daven, we change as people. So we change as people, so Mimela, even if we weren't Roy when we were on this level, when on the next notch, we become Roy. Then we saw Rashi close to the Gemara Yevamos, Eino Dome Tefillah Tzadik Ben Tzadik Ben Tzadik Ben Rasha, and we saw the idea in various Svarim that perhaps that if you're a Tzadik Ben Tzadik, so there's less of a chance that you're going to be Tola B'schus Atzmo, because then you have what to say, that it's not me, it's my father. But a Tzadik Ben Rasha, perhaps, is more likely to be Tola Al Das Atzmo, and that perhaps would be a little bit of the chisar on the idea of tefillah la'ani, that we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we don't deserve anything. Then we saw the Shut HaRosh, that the Shut HaRosh says that Yichus really shouldn't play such a role in appointing a Shliach Tzibur. Then we saw the Marshal ask the Kasha, but what about the Gemara that says Ein Adoma Tefillah Tzadik Ben Tzadik Tzadik Ben Rasha? Marshal makes a distinction between davening for yourself, for your private bakasha to have a child, versus davening for the Tzibur, for yourself. And the Sefer Marpel Nefer says Zchus Avos will help, that the grandfather is going to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help his grandchildren. Masha'en came, but the Tzibur, the idea of Tzadik Ben Tzadik doesn't necessarily play the same role. And then we saw the Taz quoted the Marshal elsewhere, but if everything is equal, then even for Tzibur you should choose the Tzadik Ben Tzadik. And then we saw the Tshuva of the Avnei Nezer, who also is assuming that there's a concept of Tzadik Ben Tzadik by Tzibur, but he discusses what if you have two sets of Chazonim, One, they're both equally Yirei Shamayim. One of them is Kola Orev. One group is more Kola Orev, but they have a Begam Mishpacha. Who should you pick? Should you say the Tzadik Ben Tzadik is better, or should you pick the other ones? So in the end, he said the Kola Orev is more preferable because perhaps the Tzadik Ben Rasha really wasn't a Rasha. Maybe there was a Limut Chus why his Sakinim were not acceptable, because in different communities they have different standards. And in terms of the brother, so that wasn't his ability to stop him, etc. And then we saw the notion of being mispowered for the Tzar HaShechina, which is the ultimate level of tefillah. Because and we didn't see it, but the Bnei Yisoschar says, when you daven for the Tzar HaShechina, there's no mekatrigim. You know, whenever you daven, so there's always these different malachim and shemayim who's saying, in the Kisei HaKoven, maybe this guy's not worthy. But if the Tzorach HaTfilah is Laman Hashem, so no one's going to say Hashem is not worthy to relieve Hashem's Tzar, so then that's the ultimate tefillah. But that's a very high madrega, that a person totally foregoes his own personal needs and can say, you know, do it for the Tzar HaShechina. But, and that's the Imre Yosef said, that perhaps that's another reason why Yitzchak's tefillahs were answered, because Rivka perhaps had a more of a, sometimes the woman perhaps has more of a personal need to have a child, and she didn't think maybe she was right to be mispal al Tzar HaShechina, as he explains, whereas Yitzchak Vayetel Hashem, he was mispal more also for the Tzar HaShechina, and that was a higher level of tefillah, and therefore we see that he was answered. So these are certain ideas of davening and limudim about davening. But let me just conclude with one thing, that, you know, in this generation that we're in now, a lot of us are now having an opportunity, you know, that our parents or grandparents didn't have. And Chas v'Shalom, we should never look at them as a Rishon Chas v'Shalom, never, because it was a different world, different opportunities. But you have to, you know, obviously be humble, but be proud that you're here, and you know, view this as a schus. You know, how many of your you know, grandparents, maybe were already in the next generation, but who were able to learn in Eretz Yisrael like this, that you have, it's a tremendous chus that you have. You know, now it became an in thing that if you don't go to Eretz Yisrael, you looked as the weirdo. You know, so it's an in, but Baruch Hashem, you should have a schus that you have, a schus that you hear. So take advantage every day. Every day is a new opportunity. You have wonderful rebbeim, wonderful Rosh Yeshiva, wonderful atmosphere here of you know, mamish kishmo, lev hatorah. You have that lev, you have the warmth, you have everything. So take advantage all the learning, all the relationships, and Bez Hashem, when you're ready to come back to New York, if you come to Yeshivas Rabbeinu Tzvi Chanan, if that's the place that you feel that's going to be most shayach, you'll be welcomed with open arms. But wherever you go, you should be matzliach, and we wish you well, and bracha v'atzlacha b'chol ma'aseh yadechem. Rabbos, I keep the packet so you can have all the makaris. This way I don't have to schlep it on the plane again.